This was a rough year at times for Greater Sudbury City Council. Near the start of 2024, City Council members Michael Vignini and Jerry Montpelier died. In March, Sudbury.com received leaked documents which revealed that City Sow Ed Archer approved wage hikes of 6-8% to city managers the previous year, news which had not been made public. Some members of City Council butted heads with Integrity Commissioner David Baghajan, which led to a divided City Council voting to fire the person hired to hold them accountable. During a closed session of City Council, Archer was fired. Meanwhile, while these tragedies and controversies took place, the gears of municipal operations kept churning. Earlier this month, City Council members pared down the 2025 tax levy increase from its initial 7.3% to 4.8%, and the Cultural Hub at Tom Davies Square and Downtown Arena Events Center projects have kept inching forward alongside the city's emergency services revitalization plan. The following are some of the top news items to come out of Sudbury. Comms City Council coverage in 2024. A bouquet of flowers was placed at Ward 3 Caun. Jerry Montpelier's desk at Council Chambers on February 21 in response to the news of his death. Image, Facebook. The deaths of Michael Vignini and Jerry Montpelier. Early 2024 saw tragedy strike Council Chambers with the deaths of Ward 2 Caun. Michael Vignini and Ward 3 Caun. Jerry Montpelier. Vignini's death came first and followed a search for him which lasted more than 2 weeks. He was reported missing during the evening of January 27, and Greater Sudbury Police issued a media release announcing him as a missing person the following day. After meeting with Freedom Convoy members outside of Bell Park, Vignini was last seen driving westbound in his truck. This sparked a search of the area, which included the use of a police drone, police introducing a tip line seeking information regarding his whereabouts and an extensive ground search. A couple of his friends even enlisted the help of a psychic, whose claim that he was hiding in a barn or vacant garage space proved false. Vignini's body was found on Atikamekshing Anishinaabeg First Nation on February 13, down a private driveway a short distance from his truck. A city council meeting that evening was cancelled following brief remarks by Mayor Paul Lefebvre. He was a very generous man, whose passion for his community was visible in everything that he did, the mayor said that evening. Although his cause of death was not released publicly, foul play was ruled out. A funeral service was held on March 2. Municipal flags were flown at half-mast alongside a flood of tributes from the community. A unanimous city council voted to rename a hall with the T.M. Davies Community Center and Arena as the Michael Vignini Community Hall, the Elgin Street Mission Kitchen was renamed to honor Michael Vignini, and the No One Eats Alone dinner was slated to continue in his memory. Montpelier's death was announced at the start of the February 21 Finance and Administration Committee meeting of City Council, which was quickly cancelled. It is heartbreaking and unfathomable that we find ourselves mourning Jerry even as we continue to grieve the late councillor Michael Vignini, Lefebvre said at the time. Jerry was a devoted champion for his community and a loyal proponent of his constituents. He was a supportive presence at many events across the city, particularly those with his beloved classic cars. Jerry touched the lives of so many of us in Greater Sudbury, and we will miss him. Municipal flags continued to be flown at half-mast, as they had already been since the previous week's news of Vignini's death. Montpelier had been having health issues in recent months, and attended the January 16 City Council meeting virtually from his hospital bed. During that meeting, he advocated for the Cultural Hub at Tom Davies Square Library Art Gallery project to be made accessible. At best, God willing, at best, I will be returning to Council Chambers with a wide wheelchair, he said during the meeting, offering his strong support for enhanced accessibility. Sudbury.com last connected with Montpelier on October 31, 2023, for a story about his low attendance at recent city council meetings, which he attributed to health reasons. "I'm doing every inch, other than sitting there at council," he said, adding that he was still dedicated to the job and colleagues were keeping him abreast of what was going on. A funeral service was held on February 24, and a unanimous city council voted to rename the Whitson River Trail the Jerry Montpelier Trail. After some discussion as to how city council should fill the two vacancies, the city's elected officials ultimately decided to appoint Eric Benoit to Ward 2 and Michel Guy Brabant to Ward 3. The two ran in their respective wards during the 2022 civic election, when Benoit committed to fostering a cooperative environment at City Hall and Brabant pledged to improve upon teamwork at City Hall, as well as to work with all 12 wards' interests in mind. A collection of documents which were leaked to Sudbury.com in early 2024 which showed that some of the city's top management received an additional 8% pay boost last year, per the direction of City Sow Ed Archer. Tyler Clark, Sudbury.com. Leaked documents reveal hidden wage increases. In March, Sudbury.com received a brown envelope with leaked documents consisting of internal city correspondence and closed session reports of City Council. The package was submitted anonymously and signed, Honest City Employees. It revealed that City Sow Ed Archer approved wage hikes of between 6 and 8% for city managers in pay groups 15 to 18. This was in addition to their regularly scheduled 3% boost, with the extra jump costing approximately $520,000 annually and bringing wages back up to City Council approved levels compared to a list of approved municipalities. A CUPE spokesperson called the wage hikes reprehensible. Sudbury.com tracked other pay increases to find all municipal pay groups trended similarly since at least 2010. The pay hike revelation spurred city council members to review the city's salary policy and later withdraw the CAO's delegated authority to increase non-union wages. This came several months after a unanimous city council had voted to grant Archer the delegated authority to increase wages within city council approved parameters, which he did. Per a motion by Lefebvre, third-party reports regarding salaries will now be delivered to newly elected city councils during the first year of each term. Despite evidence that they were told about the wage hikes, some members of city council claimed to have been in the dark and blamed Archer alone for the decision. This most notably included Ward 7 Count. Natalie Labbe, who penned an open letter Sudbury.com published in May in which she said that if she were Sow, she would have resigned over the wage hike issue. More on this below, under Council Behaving Badly, Allegedly. In October, the city's elected officials left a closed session of City Council having decided to end Archer's employment effective immediately, with Lefebvre telling local media after the fact that it was time for new leadership. The city's elected officials have not publicly shared why Archer was fired, but Archer told Sudbury.com a day after his dismissal, "If you monitor the municipal sector, you know CAOs serve at the pleasure of council, and in this case serve at the pleasure of a strong mayor, so that's the circumstance." Like hockey coaches, top municipal managers tend to move around a lot in their careers. "We'll close out the relationship and move on wishing each other well, I suspect," Archer said. "We had good results, the organization is in a better place than it was when I got here, and I look forward to seeing where it goes from here." David Boghossian is the managing partner of Boghossian plus Allen LLP, and became the City of Greater Sudbury's Integrity Commissioner on July 23, 2023. City Council voted earlier this year to fire him, at least in part for being critical of City Council members beyond the scope of whether they breached the city's code of conduct. Image. Boghossian plus Allen LLP. Council Behaving Badly, Allegedly. As has become an annual tradition for Sudbury.com's City Council years in review, there was plenty to draw from in 2024 when it came to City Council members behaving badly. Allegedly. The most public of these alleged wrongdoings was Ward 7 Count. Natalie Labbe's open letter in which she said if she were Sow, she would have resigned over the wage hike issue. The letter sparked multiple complaints and an investigation by City Integrity Commissioner David Boghossian. By disparaging Archer, Labbe sought to distance herself from last year's wage hike, In order to salvage her own political fortunes, Boghossian concluded in his final report. In the letter and public remarks, Labe knowingly misled people, Boghossian said, most notably in claiming she was blindsided when she first learned about the wage increases when Sudbury.com broke the story in March 2024. City Council members unanimously granted Archer the delegated authority to increase wages and were told about the wage hike, including its $520,067 cost, during a December 12, 2023, closed session of City Council. During this meeting, city staff explained that the figure was attributable to an increase for pay groups 15 to 18, according to internal correspondence leaked to Sudbury.com. A February 21 closed session report to City Council also told City Council members that Archer used his delegated authority in 2023 to adjust salaries by 8% for director-level positions and by 6% for senior manager-level positions, according to Boghossian's report. Despite this, Labe, bolstered by a small group of supporters who wore purple in her honor, called herself brave and strong, and said, I stand by all of it. Although Boghossian recommended that Labe face a 20-day suspension of pay, city council members voted against a financial penalty. Ward 12 Caen. Jocelyn Landry Altman also faced an integrity commissioner investigation this year, for her actions during an April 8 Flour Mill Community Action Network meeting. During the meeting, Landry Altman exhibited a prime example of a councillor supporting NIMBYISM in its most offensive and vitriolic form, according to Boghossian's report, which recommended that she face a 20-day suspension of pay. The April 8 meeting was held to address concerns from area residents regarding the Sudbury Centre for Transitional Care, SCTC, which at the time was providing services to people who are homeless from a temporary location on Notre Dame Avenue. Landry Altman kicked Sudbury.com journalist Jenny LaMoth out of the meeting. In an audio recording provided to Boghossian, Landry Altman can be heard saying, we don't need the slant of a media person who wasn't invited here. Community Action Network rules dictate that these meetings are to be open and transparent to the public. During the September 3 City Council meeting at which Boghossian's report on her conduct was discussed, Landry Altman falsely claimed that no one was turned away from the meeting, and dismissed various parts of Boghossian's report using such words as false, utter nonsense, invalid, prejudicial, and categorically false. Far from showing any contrition, Caen. Landry Altman has steadfastly refused to admit any wrongdoing, Boghossian said at the time, adding that he has grown even more certain after filing his report that she should face a financial penalty, referring to her conduct in trying to bury his report as shameful. The city's elected officials ultimately voted against suspending Landry Altman's pay. Another Integrity Commissioner report filed this year addressed Ward 5 Caen. Mike Parent and Labe's criticism of city staff regarding a $5 gate fee at city landfill sites. Similar to the 2023 wage hike issue, both members claimed to have not known about the $5 gate fee despite evidence that city council members were informed. In this case, however, Boghossian said the way the gate fee was introduced by city staff was inappropriate. Although both members were deemed to have publicly maligned city staff, Labe's criticisms were considered more egregious, and Boghossian recommended she face a 5-day suspension of pay, which city council members voted against. Boghossian found himself in city council members' crosshairs beginning in May, when Ward 11 Caen. Bill LaDuke tabled a motion for him to be fired. This came in response to a report regarding LaDuke's cell phone expenses in which Boghossian found no wrongdoing. LaDuke withdrew his motion at the time, but tabled a similar one in November, also calling for Boghossian's firing, which a 7-6 vote of city council members supported. Their main complaint was that Boghossian criticized city council members beyond the scope of whether they violated the city's code of conduct. Accompanying Boghossian's November firing, with 180 days notice, was an integrity commissioner report on LaDuke's social media posts, which Boghossian considered transphobic and beneath the dignity of a sitting councillor, or anyone for that matter. Around this time, the city's elected officials also voted to limit anonymous complaints against them, allowing them only in extenuating circumstances, which Bighajan said was already the case. This is a watered-down version of the original motion, which would have prohibited anonymous complaints. Also this year, the city's Election Compliance Audit Committee determined that Leduc should go to court for apparent Elections Act breaches, which included his use of a September 11, 2022, Grandparents' Day event as a campaign function, which Leduc has steadfastly denied. Leduc, in turn, sued the city and the private resident who filed a complaint with the Election Compliance Audit Committee for $450,000. The city's lawyer contends the lawsuit should be thrown out, concluding, if Mr. Leduc suffered any at all, which is expressly denied, they are remote, exaggerated, excessive, or otherwise not recoverable at law. The private resident's lawyer dismissed the lawsuit as a means of limiting expression on matters of public interest. In a separate lawsuit, Leduc is suing the city for $29,500 in response to a 2023 city council decision to dock him 30 days' pay for alleged code of conduct violations, which he disagrees with and considers unfair in light of recent city council decisions against proceeding with penalties in cases against other members. Leduc also lodged an allegation of wrongdoing against some of his colleagues. After the Elm Place Mall received city council's okay to house a warehouse in August, Leduc accused his colleagues, including the mayor, of trading their integrity for campaign donations. A crew is seen removing asbestos-containing material from the old Golden Grain Bakery building in advance of its planned demolition to make way for the Downtown Arena Events Center project. Tyler Clark, Sudbury.com. Major projects move forward and other initiatives. Tragedy and controversies aside, Greater Sudbury City Council inched forward on various projects throughout the year, most notably the $225 million Downtown Arena Events Center and the $65 million Cultural Hub at Tom Davies Square projects. At the latest update, the Cultural Hub at Tom Davies Square Library, Art Gallery and Municipal Relocation Project saw architects in the design development stage, working with consultants, structural and mechanical engineers to add layers of technical design to work done thus far. During 2025 budget deliberations earlier this month, the city's elected officials added some complementary projects to the Cultural Hub, including digitizing paper records at Tom Davies Square to help free up space in their shift from 200 Brady Street to 199 Larch Street to make way for the library. They also approved $4.8 million in work to the Tom Davies Square exterior facing Paris Street, which includes accessibility components such as ramps. Project design concepts by Teeple Architects, Two Row Architect and Yaloiga Architecture, and renderings by Red Knot Studio, Guido Chiarito were released in September. On November 28, a request for pre-qualification opened for the project's construction management services, which is scheduled to close on January 8. As for the Arena Events Center, at the latest update earlier this month, two companies from the United States had pre-qualified to manage the facility. Prior to that, Toronto-based BBB Architects was selected to design the center, which is slated to open by May 2028. We're still at early stages of the process, City Growth and Infrastructure Manager Tony Sicutti told Sudbury.com earlier this month. We're pulling all the pieces together. A specific site within the South District of downtown Sudbury will be selected early in the new year, and Wacky Wings is expected to vacate their expropriated property by the end of March 2025. Throughout 2024, downtown buildings continued to come down to make room for the project. Meanwhile, the city's $164.4 million Emergency Services Revitalization Project is inching forward, with the city hiring the Barrie-based Salter Pilon Architecture Inc. to tackle its first phase. City Assets and Fleet Services Director Sean Turner and Arena Maintenance Lead Wes Levine are pictured with the city's first electric Zamboni, stationed at the T.M. Davies Community Center and Arena in Lively. Tyler Clark, Sudbury.com. Other highlights from 2024. It might take looking at the full breadth of stories in one sitting to realize it, but a lot of municipal news took place in 2024. In addition to the stories listed above, the following is a more exhaustive, but not entirely, list of municipal stories Sudbury.com reported on this year. The city cancelled the sale of the old Skeed Volunteer Fire Rescue Boat at the behest of Ward 7 Coun. Natalie Labbe. A 3-year draft plan for a Minnow Lake housing project with 192 units was oaked. With the Valley East Twin Pad Multipurpose Sports Complex failing to receive funding from senior levels of government, the city is now seeking alternative plans. Sudbury.com reported that statistics culled from voluntary poll data, which the city frequently uses to help inform city council decisions, is statistically irrelevant. The city of Greater Sudbury is currently not on track to reach its net zero goal by 2050. Automated speed enforcement cameras became active on March 22, and have since proven effective at slowing traffic. Freedom Convoy protesters disrupted an open house at Tom Davies Square in March, when they conflated municipal efforts with the 15-minute city conspiracy. A proposed clear garbage bag mandate dominated every city council discussion regarding a solid waste management master plan, despite such a mandate proving effective elsewhere. They struck the recommendation from the plan, but it will come up again as a topic of discussion in 2026. Short-term rentals will need to be registered with the city. Going against a recommendation by city staff, who cautioned that it would unduly slow traffic, the city's elected officials added a left-turn signal on LaSalle Boulevard. Neighbors opposed a 9-story Sunrise Ridge Estates development northeast of downtown Sudbury, which has yet to receive final approval by City Council. Smart water meters are 98.5% installed, with the balance expected to be completed by 2025. City Council pumped the brakes on upgrades to the Lively Ski Hill. After a petition with hundreds of signatures was signed urging the city to keep it open, City Council ultimately decided to give them at least one more winter season of operations. With Monte Principale originally slated for rehabilitation in 2027, Ward 4 Coun. Pauline Fortin introduced a successful motion to have it fast-tracked by a year or two. The Future Ready Development Services Ad Hoc Committee of City Council yielded 54 calls for action intended to help spur economic development in Greater Sudbury. A unanimous City Council oaked working toward the conservation of approximately 109,000 hectares of land by 2030 as part of a broader national initiative. A resident appealed the 6-story Algonquin Road retirement complex, but provincial legislation ultimately threw the appeal out, allowing the project to continue. City Council voted to put a moratorium on some residential development charges and freeze others, which will carry a revenue loss of between $8 million to $11 million. This, despite any evidence shared which proves it will spur economic development. It was enacted on July 1. Vicious dogs are being banned from dog parks, off-leash areas. City Council unanimously backed a $350 million plan to end homelessness. There still aren't any electric buses at Gova Transit, but they're working on their plan to convert its fleet of diesel buses to electric by 2035. A report is expected in early 2025. City investment income hit $37.9 million in 2023 thanks to an average rate of return of 5.1%. The city is divesting of the Vermilion Lake Fire Station. The city of Greater Sudbury's debt load is on track to peak at $587.3 million by 2028. The city's first-ever electric Zamboni is stationed at the T.M. Davies Community Center and Arena in Lively and is receiving early positive reviews. The Beaver Lake Fire Station closed with 3 days' notice in some people's view. City Council had given them a year to bring volunteer numbers up, which they did not succeed in doing. Expanded Gova Transit service levels took effect August 24, adding 11,000 annual service hours. A record-setting 6.2 million public transit rides is anticipated this year, far exceeding the previous record of 5.2 million set in 2023. Greater Sudbury City Council was unanimous in backing Ward 5 Coun. Mike Parent's motion, which asks city staff to advocate for senior levels of government to work with them in addressing the homelessness crisis. Work on the Sudbury landfill site's scales resulted in months of traffic backlogs. City Council approved 7 rural estate lots east of Sudbury's south end despite city staff warning that doing so would not represent good planning. The city is looking into options for offering free bus passes for high school students. The city bought 307 Cedar Street to be used as an emergency shelter and/or transitional housing. Life-saving thumpers, also called automatic mechanical CPR devices, were slated to be installed in all city ambulances by the end of the year. The city signed an aid agreement with the township of Nairn and Hyman for fire protection. The city's elected officials asked staff to draft bylaw amendments which aim to add teeth to property standard rules. Police board meetings are now held at City Hall in an effort to improve transparency. The city awarded a $1.7 million grant to help Panoramic Properties renovate the Scotia Tower building in downtown Sudbury, but only if they proceed with tearing down the old hospital building on Paris Street, which they also own. Panoramic Properties will not answer Sudbury.com's questions on the project. The city's aquatic service and facility review came in, concluding there's no rationale to continue investing in the Onapping pool. The shuttered Auger Avenue School was approved to house 20 residential units, with another 54 to be constructed as soon as wastewater capacity is ensured. The city is conducting a feasibility study for a 25-meter pool at the Lionel E. Lalonde Center in Isilda. Pioneer Manor's final structural beam was signed and put into place in October, at the site of a 160-room bed redevelopment project. A 3-story, 18-unit residential building will take shape at 7 Pine Street in downtown Sudbury, and received a $324,260 grant, plus $400,000 in tax forgiveness. Frobisher Street was selected as an ideal location for new police headquarters. Garson Arena was officially named the George Armstrong Community Center and Arena. The Spot, Sudbury's supervised consumption site, closed this year after municipal funding did not come in. City Council voted to turn the space into a warming center, which opened on November 25. The province pledged $34.9 million toward water, wastewater infrastructure to help spur housing in the lively, Walden area. The total project is approximately $70 million. Mayor Paul Lefebvre signed an open letter alongside other mayors urging the city to use the notwithstanding clause if necessary to help with homeless encampments, and received criticism which he responded to. A waste transfer station was oaked for a portion of the old Kingsway Entertainment District site. The city granted $1 million each to both Yes Theater and Dynamic Earth. 5 more municipally owned houses are being sold to Raising the Roof, to create 10 affordable housing units, 2 per house. City Council greenlit Panoramic Properties' 530-unit project at the old hospital site on Paris Street. The city is looking at ways to speed up development permits for everything, but particularly for simple projects like decks and sheds, using such tools as artificial intelligence. An update will be provided next year. City Council approved a $25 million College Street underpass project, in principle, to include a roundabout and improved active transportation infrastructure. Funding from senior levels of government is being sought. The city has applied for provincial funding to help pay for the operating costs associated with the Lorraine Street Transitional Housing Complex, which is slated to open early in the new year. The city was slated to close 3 fire halls by the end of 2024, including Copper Cliff, Valcarran, and Falconbridge. A seniors organization in Falconbridge is working with the city to procure the shuttered Falconbridge for use as a woodworking shop and art studio. Mixed electronic paper ballot voting was oaked for the 2026 civic election. The mayor requested several reports to address environmental goals, which are expected to be tabled at city council meetings in 2025. The city is looking at shifting the Capriol Library to the Millennium Center, with a feasibility study expected next year. 3RD Line Studio is working on developing a new recreational amenity in Lively to replace Meatbird Lake Park. Gova Transit buses are getting new fare boxes early in the new year, which will be fully functional by the end of 2025. Greater Sudbury is up to 149 kilometers of cycling infrastructure, with 9.5 kilometers added in 2024. The city oaked fourth unit per residential lot as of right. The city is working on a proposed renewal of Calmo Beach, with a business case expected in late 2025 for consideration during 2026 budget deliberations. For Sudbury, Com's 2023 City Council Year in Review story, click here. For 2022, click here. For 2021, click here. Tyler Clark covers City Hall and political affairs for Sudbury.com.